All right. So I don't need to read you my title again. I have no relationships to disclose. So to kind of start, Goal 3 of the Millennium Development Goals aims at empowering women to improve their access to economic and political opportunity and guarantee their safety. However, the precise meaning of gender empowerment and how this plays out in the reality of women's health outcomes is not clear, and it's also relatively absent from the literature. This idea of empowerment is commonly employed as a synonym for enabling, participating, and speaking out. And it's often linked with increasing educational opportunities for women around the world in a way to, it's seen as a tool to make women's lives better. So education is thought to confer greater economic mobility, personal autonomy, social status, and that this will also translate into healthier lives for women. This notion has been questioned on whether or not educational attainment can make the necessary contributions to change women's status in society if those needed resources are controlled and prohibited by societal structure. But nonetheless, the view that education leads to women's empowerment and indirectly to gender equality has gained in popularity. But there's still a lot to learn about how education empowers women and then how it translates into better lives for women. So kind of a little brief context. So Ethiopia is engaged in gender empowerment efforts by actively recruiting and bringing women to the university setting around the country. And so the university setting is seen as the site of empowerment for women. And, you know, they do view it as this vehicle of change. However, at the same time, they also see it as a place where they have to contend with these long-standing cultural traditions and power relations that are at play in their everyday lives. And oftentimes, it can expose them to risks. So that's what I'll talk about today. So my overall goal of this research was to understand how do women who attend Bahadur University navigate, and mediate their sexual and reproductive health experiences in the university setting. And this is really key to understanding how gender empowerment efforts can be better situated and implemented in higher education settings around the world. So what I'm not saying today is that we shouldn't educate women. What I'm saying is how do we figure out a way to educate women that's safe, healthy, and ultimately academically successful for them. So given that, these are my four specific aims, which I will not talk about all of them today. Specific aim one was to identify normative gendered behavior for females before they come to the university and after. So really I wanted to know, what does it mean to be an Ethiopian woman before you arrive at the university? And does that at all change once you start to get an education? Specific aim two is to document the gender-based policies, procedures, and resources at Bahadur University, and how women's perceptions and strategies fit within this system. Three was to describe the factors influencing women's health by looking at sexual and reproductive health knowledge and attitudes, sexual communication and self-confidence, safety on campus, and personal health practices. And then the last one was to identify individual strategies that women use to promote health, safety, and academic success on campus. So what I'm going to focus on today is really specific aim two, and just a small part of that. So documenting the gender-based policies, procedures, and resources. And really today focusing on women's perceptions and their strategies and how they fit within that system. So the significance, it's multidisciplinary in nature. It's hoped to engage wide audiences, various stakeholders that are interested in women's health in general and higher education in particular. It has far-reaching implications for gender advocacy efforts in both developing and developed countries. And hopefully it can be used to inform policy decisions at the university, the country, and global level. And then lastly, the present-day conditions that women face must be taken into account to create an environment where women can not only achieve optimal health, but that their experiences contribute to larger issues of women's health through empowerment and equity strategies at the global level. So hoping that this study will make a significant and needed contribution to this limited literature on women's health experiences at university campuses throughout the world. And then also, lastly, hoping to use these results to guide future intervention strategies to promote gender equality and equity in the university setting. So a little context, Bahadur University is located in Bahadur town, which is approximately 578 kilometers from the capital, which is Addis Ababa. In 2009, Bahadur University had approximately 38,000 students, so it's quite large. Of that, 16,000 are day students, 6,000 weekend evening students, 7,000 summer, and 9,000 distance. So my study really focused on these 16,000 day students. That was my sampling frame. Those were the typical undergrad that live on campus. You know, they're there every single day, 18 to 20 to 23-year-olds. And then the number of faculty, approximately 1,053, of which 908 men, 145 women. So this study was cross-sectional in design. It employed mixed methodology. It consisted of key informant interviews, in-depth interviews, focus group discussions, and self-administered questionnaires. I got at Specific AIM really by looking at in-depth interviews and focus group discussions. So that's what I'll be discussing today. So the issue of safety on campus was a salient theme among both male and female students interviewed, as well as administrators. And these are sort of the three themes, the major themes that emerged from their discussions of safety on campus. One, they talked about harassment on campus. Two, they talked about what they considered to be safe and unsafe places. And then three, what they referred to as the space on campus. And I'll talk about all three of these now. So harassment is an obstacle that's faced by women both on and off campus. It's really come to be the social norm in Ethiopia. Women discussed how they face harassment everywhere on campus. They talked about how it came from male students, from guards, from cafeteria attendants, from library attendants, and even instructors. So they talked about harassment as something that they really just came to expect as a part of living and being on campus, and that they really must endure or put up with if they want to be successful. The reasons that female harassment is so pervasive in Ethiopian society is really poorly understood and relatively understudied. Some believe that this is a norm in a culture of what men do. They talk about it as being this deeply entrenched, you know, power dynamic that's at play, and that men are allowed to perpetuate this negative behavior because they simply aren't expected to behave. The women in my study had an interesting perspective. They talked about it as that men had, this was a strategy that men took so that they wouldn't succeed. And this quote illustrates that. The men, they are very strategic. They finish all of their schoolwork and then they come to the library and harass us. They take our notebooks, our pens, and they say stuff to us. They do this so that we don't do better in classes, so that we don't succeed. And then looking at the issue of safe and unsafe places. Women were asked during in-depth interviews and focused group discussions to identify where do you consider safe and unsafe on campus. The one place that women unanimously agreed that was safe on campus were their dorms. They said, this is the one place that men are not allowed to go and actually follow that rule, because if they don't, they get dismissed from the university. So this quote illustrates that. I feel safe in the dorms because every one of us is ladies. We are so free to do everything we want, to play, to chat. That is the only place the girls are free. We even sleep without locking the doors. When we talk about unsafe places, there wasn't unanimous agreement, but there were several places that came up that, you know, may be safe and unsafe at times. And these were places such as the walkways on campus, libraries, and cafeterias. And these are two quotes to illustrate that. We don't feel safe at all in the libraries. There is not enough security in the library at all. The only people we get are those people that are supposed to help with books only. They will not watch over our security at all. Even if they saw harassment, they will say it's not our problem or our duty, and we'll just leave it and do nothing about it at all. And then the last quote. The police should be stronger and look after us more. And as much as possible, there should be lights in campus, as the darkness will create more harassment opportunities when we walk. So the structure and space in which women reside really contributes to their perceptions and experiences of safety on campus. So the dorms as a structure are considered safe, but the pathways to and from those dorms are not as safe. Like, they talk about how men wait outside the dorms so that they can harass them going to and from. And that the library is often considered unsafe because it's not monitored and there's many spaces in there that can lend more easily to harassment. There's also this ambiguous discussion that revolves around what's referred to as the space on campus. And it's quite literally the places in between buildings, the perimeter, the outskirts of campus. So men, women, and administrators, they frequently reference the space on campus. And when they talk about the space, they talk about what they term deviant behaviors such as premarital sex, drinking, smoking, chewing chat, which is a leaf that when chewed has stimulant properties, as well as harassment. So nothing good is ever to have thought to happen in this space. So some of the characteristics of this space. It's a place where security rarely goes. It's unregulated, it's unmonitored, it's where alcohol and chat consumption occurs. It's where sexual activity occurs, usually unprotected. And I wouldn't say this is for sex, it might be coerced sex, but one of the key points is that it's usually unprotected. Harassment occurs there, and all these things happen primarily at night when these behaviors aren't publicly observed and or monitored or regulated. So the space may contribute to safety issues for women on campus and promote a place where risky behaviors can occur. So kind of just to summarize everything I said, so some of the safe places are the dorms, the unsafe places, those common spaces, the libraries, the walkways, the cafeterias. And then women talked about, and men talked about, some strategies to improve safety. They talked about a greater police presence, better lighting, strict punishment, and making examples of people who don't follow the rules, as well as men's awareness programs. And these are the things they talked about, ways in which they avoided these safety issues. They talked about avoiding men altogether, avoiding these harassing situations, going to great lengths to walk around groups of men, you know, maybe taking, you know, 5 extra minutes to get somewhere, avoiding night travel, walking in large groups of women, and then also communicating with men, confronting men themselves. But they kind of said if all else fails, we just wouldn't report. We would just simply go on. So kind of this is my last slide, recommendations and future directions. So harassment is one piece that contributes to women's safety on campus, but it's a quite pervasive piece, and it really impacts their daily lives, and it can also impact their success as a student on campus. So kind of strategizing ways to promote harassment as something that's no longer accepted on campus. And I think this will really take some policy-level action and strict enforcement and consequences that will most likely have to be from the administration or government down. Also, awareness-raising campaigns. Men talk about this. They even say, you know, we need to treat these women like our sisters. But when you ask them, what does that mean and what does that look like, they really don't provide an answer. But they know that something should change and that women shouldn't be treated this way. And then my last point is that there should be better security, lighting, and resources, such as sexual and reproductive health education.